I'm Norman Caruso. Steven, Herman Cain is a Pokemon master. He's quoting the Pokemon movie in his speeches now.
I'm Steven Duncan. It's a ploy for his next campaign. Herman Cain, 2016, I caught them all!
And you're listening to the Level 7 Podcast. And welcome, one and all, whoever you may be, wherever you may be, to the Level 7 Podcast. Today's topics, Square Enix has announced it'll be using the Unreal Engine in its next project.
We talk about the lukewarm review for Mario Kart 7.
And our main topic is the Level 7 Podcast Holiday Gift Guide.
Can you imagine me in like a Santa outfit?
Yeah, I could be Mrs. Claus.
Yeah, and we could have dress up your dog as an elf, and it'll be hot.
I don't think we'd get any kids in our line to sit on your lap, dude.
Darn.
All right, let's get into these topics. First topic: Richard Garriott, the creator of Ultima. You know the Ultima series, a long-running RPG series, has declared that consoles are doomed. Garriott stated that after the next generation, consoles will be done for. What are your thoughts on these foreboding foretellings?
My first thought was, where has Richard Garriott been for the past 10 years? And I found out, actually, he's been doing space travel, so... Yeah, he's been really keeping up with that market.
Didn't he make Tabula Rasa, that MMO? It came out in 2007
and completely bombed, and they literally shut it down in 2009.
Yeah, I remember I was working at GameStop at the time, and it came out, and so we put it on the shelf to sell, and then like a few months later, sometimes we'll get recalls. We had to pull the game from the shelf because they were offering it for free online.
Yeah.
And that was like a few months after it came out.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But I mean, I started thinking, like, does Richard Garriott even have any console experience? And the answer is pretty much no. He released a couple of ports on the SNES. He had a couple Game Boy games from the Ultima series. So this is the guy I want to listen to when it comes to the future of console gaming.
Well, he works for a mobile/social gaming company now, so of course he's going to say consoles are doomed because he wants everyone to hop on the mobile platform and play some games now.
And that's actually what he was actually getting at, but he's Richard Garriott and he's crazy, so he couldn't, so he had to say it in a crazy way. He's talking more about the fact that mobile gaming and the browser-based social media gaming is actually going to become more powerful than what we're expecting, that it can give stiff competition to the console market, not next generation, not with the Wii U, the Xbox 720, and the PS4, but the generation after that when the technology has advanced a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. The controller will never die.
No, it won't.
Ever.
And the good thing is we're actually experiencing why it's not going to die this generation with the touch screens and things like that. So Square Enix has announced that it will be using the Unreal Engine to craft its next RPG project. Few details have been released on the game, but hints at a Western influence have been suggested. You excited for the new project, Norm?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I haven't been excited for a Square Enix project for a long time.
That's fair.
Yeah, see? And they used the Unreal Engine before on a game called The Last Remnant. I don't know if you remember that one. It came out for... Oh, you're laughing.
I remember the reviews I saw for it, and I remember going, I'm not going to pay for that.
Yeah. It came out, I think, for PS3 and 360, or maybe it was just a 360 exclusive. I can't remember.
It was 360.
It's so insignificant. But I will say this, I think there might be some more Western influence in these games. Recently Skyrim got reviewed by Famitsu magazine. and it got a perfect score.
Yeah,
which
it was
is
the first Western game that did it.
The first one. And so I wonder if Square Enix is looking at these games and saying, okay, maybe we need to start doing stuff like this.
It's kind of weird that they were saying that they're using Unreal Engine, and it's when did you and I talked about their new graphics engine? I've already forgotten the name of it, but they just said, hey, we got a new engine, but we're going to use Unreal. So fantastic. Let's jump ship before the ship's even built. I'm kind of excited about it just because I'm an action RPG fan.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things I can see going wrong, though. It being Square Enix and it being... they're going to say it's Western influence, but come on, it's a JRPG company.
When Square Enix says it's a total possibility that there could be a Final Fantasy first-person shooter, I've lost a lot of hope for any project they're coming out with now.
Absolutely, and I'm kind of glad that I never heard that statement until just now.
Yeah, it's a true statement.
Yeah, that is incredibly disheartening. I wish I hadn't heard that.
Well, our next topic, goodbye, GamePro. On December 5th, GamePro will shut down its print and online magazine, another sign of the sad decline of video game magazines. The magazine first began in 1989. Steven, is this surprising?
Not at all. We've talked about, you know, the society is trying to get away from clutter. We're trying to simplify our means of life, and what takes up more junk space than magazines?
We do have a lot of hardcore collectors of these magazines.
There are, but collectors don't outweigh the casual buyer.
That's true.
So you can't support a market on fanatics.
Now, here's what I think they need to do, or what any future gaming magazine needs to do. They need to find a niche. You need to find a magazine. Like, I really like Retro Gamer magazine, because they focus on retro games, and they have a lot of cool features. They get developer interviews, and it's kind of a niche. It's not, I mean, if you're getting a magazine for like exclusive news and inside look at games, you can find that anywhere now online.
Exactly. And here's the thing, though, you can get it for free.
Yeah, free.
I can get back before the big boom of internet news. Magazines were the go-to thing, and they gave kind of the unique perspective, and they gave you details of things you may not have access to or may not have known about. But now, I can go to any of the numerous websites and find anything I want. I don't have to pay a dime. I don't have to have a magazine laying around. And you know, it's just what people want to move towards. I'm not surprised as a magazine, it went down. Now, that's not to say whether or not I'm sad about it, but I'm not surprised in the slightest. I think magazines have to find that medium between the website content, you know, free content to bring people in, freemium is what they say, and you know, I think also they need to look towards e-readers
like Kindles and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
So a gaming website, Destructoid, recently gave Mario Kart 7 a mediocre score of 5 out of 10, calling it a lethargic and mundane game. Nintendo fans are outraged. What do you make of this?
I'm a little torn, and here's why. First of all, the guy who reviewed it is Jim Sterling. And Jim Sterling has been criticized for giving Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, he gave it a free pass for basically being the same game. He basically said in his review, it's exactly like Modern Warfare 2, but it's a good game, so go get it. But I feel like he was a little unfair to Mario Kart 7, because the game actually has a lot of changes. You've got new characters, new power-ups, new tracks. They did do something different with this Mario Kart. But it's also unfair to criticize him for giving it that score, because that's how he felt about the game. If people trust solely in Destructoid for their game purchases, then I think that's a bad idea. You got to judge for yourself sometimes.
Yeah, I think when my initial reaction was, this is just Nintendo fans being completely distraught. Those who do not believe in the faith of Nintendo will be brought down by the cult members. I am saying this, though, as a former cult member. I remember how ravenous I was being a Nintendo fanboy and trying to defend everything. And the amount to which Nintendo fanboys will defend their product never surprises me, because they've been defending the Wii since its inception.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I'm speaking as a former cult member.
Were you playing with power?
I was. Nintendo. I told you, I had the glove and everything.
Oh,
so
God.
I'm now, whether or not he's like just putting this review out there to troll people, which is a possibility.
Which would be hilarious.
It would.
If he really was doing this.
Yeah, and he would be my hero. I'd love him. But good for him for having a different opinion and not being afraid to go out and say that. But boo for him for giving the free pass for Modern Warfare 3.
That's right. And with that, our first four topics are over. When we come back, it's the Level 7 Podcast Holiday Gift Guide with Steven as Santa Claus and me as Mrs. Claus.
I'll bring out my beard.
And we'll be right back.
Fan of the show? Get regular updates on Facebook and Twitter at Level 7 Cast.
And welcome back to the Level 7 Podcast. And now it's time for the Level 7 Podcast Holiday Gift Guide, where we tell you we have three different categories, and we tell you our thoughts on what game you should get somebody. If you have a friend or a family member that loves video games, here's what we would recommend. Okay, so let's start with best overlooked game. All right, Steven, what do you think the best overlooked game? This is a game that is really good, got really good reviews, but not a lot of people are talking about it.
Well, the easy go-to thing is just pick out a recent good arcade or PSN game, because these games get overlooked constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually what I'm going to do, because if you're a gamer and people know you're a gamer, you're going to get either PSN or Xbox points.
Are there any in particular?
Yes. Actually, I got one absolutely in mind, because only myself, my girlfriend, and one friend talk about, and it's Dungeon Defenders. It just got released on both the PSN and the arcade.
Uh-huh.
Our friend brought it over, and he had bought it, and he had told us, he's like, you need to get this game. And I never listened to people's recommendations, so I didn't get it. So he brought it over and forced me to play it, and I loved it. To give you some background on the game, it's this combination of action RPG, all the stats, all the equipment, all the loot, all that. Think kind of Diablo 2 in a sense.
Okay.
Mixed with tower defense.
Really?
Yes.
Tower defense.
Yes. So what happens is there's the waves and waves of monsters that can range anywhere between 20 and thousands per wave. And you have your character who, you know, like I said, it's an action RPG, so he has all of his stats, he has his armor. But they have the special ability to lay down towers.
Okay.
So that's what happens. You have a build phase where you build out all your towers and plan everything out. And then you have the action phase where all the waves come in. And while your towers are killing stuff, you can kill stuff too. And there's just... It sounds weird, action with tower defense.
So it's basically your standard tower defense game, but you can control one of these guys that's fighting the guys that the towers are shooting at.
Pretty much.
Okay.
But it's just, there's so much stuff, there's so much loot. It's kind of like Borderlands in that sense, that you're going to get a lot of different types of loot. It's all randomly generated. So there's always that aspect of what loot am I going to get next? But there's just different ways to approach the game. There's different types of characters that all have their strong points and different types of towers. And where you can customize your stats is a big thing. So you can be a person, like I play a character who likes to get into the thick of things and just kind of have the towers as a last line of defense. I don't really rely on them too much. I prefer to get in there and kill stuff with my sword. But you can also have somebody that, you know, relies more on the towers and then kind of manages that way. You need to, and there's a lot of strategy as well, mm-hmm. not just with your character, but in each map, you need to find where they're all going to funnel from, all the monsters, that is. You know, you can upgrade your towers that are on the field, and I mean, there's just a lot of depth to something that's so simple. But the big thing is the online component.
Mm-hmm.
You can just, if you log in, you hit quick match, it's random pop-in, pop-out gameplay, and that works so awesome. I don't have to wait for a room or nothing like that. It's just, if they're in the middle of the game, you can drop in. If you want to play for 5 minutes, play for 5 minutes and leave. It doesn't interrupt their flow at all.
So not only is this an overlooked game, this might be a good budget game as well.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. Yeah, any arcade game is going to be that. But now the other game I had in mind, and I'm going to turn this to you, Norm, because you have personal experience. Because yes. I don't have personal experience with this. I'm going solely on the reviews that I've seen, is Rayman Origins.
Yes. And this is actually my choice for best overlooked game. And the reason it's being overlooked is it picked probably the worst release date in the history of video games, which is it came out the same week as Modern Warfare 3 and Skyrim.
Oh, yeah, that's awful.
So, of course, most gamers aren't even even I didn't know this game was coming out. And I've played the Rayman games before, and I've liked them. I think the Rayman series is it's a good platforming series. But this one stands out, and it's on. I've got it for 360. And Steven, when you think of the 360, what platformers do you think of?
There's a long pause there because you can't really think of any.
How about Banjo Nuts and Bolts?
Yeah, exactly. Game of the Year material. That was the killer app for the 360. No,
killer.
And, yeah, to answer your question quickly, Braid is one that comes to my mind.
Yeah, most of them are on the arcade. We can agree.
Yeah,
most of these are on the arcade. This is a full platformer in disc form. Which is cool, but you've got to see the graphics. I mean, it's like you're playing a cartoon. The graphics are really, and I know you just got a new TV.
Yes, I did.
So it looks incredible. The platforming is really well done. There's literally, I think, three buttons. You attack, you can run, and you can jump. Very simple game, and it's just a lot of fun. You can play co-op, you can play the new Super Mario Brothers, you can play together.
Yeah,
you can do that with this game.
Is it only local, or can you do it online?
You know, I'm not sure if you can do it online. But you can do it locally.
Okay.
And it's good. It's a good game.
It's a lot of fun.
That's probably my most overlooked game, and I definitely recommend picking it up.
Yeah, and to put kind of the emphasis on the point of it being overlooked, I actually knew this game was coming out, and I could have sworn it was actually going to be a arcade game. I thought it was going to be a downloadable thing, so I didn't know it was going to be a full-fledged disc, you know, $50, $60 game, which kind of shows how overlooked it was, even in marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you talked about my new television. I just want to do a quick aside, just something really simple. Now is the time. This isn't specifically about gaming, but it is kind of gaming related. If you're a gamer with subpar television, go out and get a new television. It is the time to do it. It's dirt cheap right now.
Everything must go.
Yeah, because they're trying to make way for the new technology of internet TVs, LED TVs, and you know, and things like that. So LCD televisions that are full 1080p, 120 hertz, awesome contrast ratio, go for cheap, 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 cheap. So please stop playing on bad televisions. Just go get one. They're cheap.
Okay, I just looked up Rayman Origins does not have online co-op. Which, okay, that's disappointing. But even as single player, you've got to get it.
I was about to say, if you didn't know that there wasn't an online multiplayer, then it's not a deal breaker because you're still playing it.
Yeah. Okay, next category. So for best Overlook game, I've chosen Rayman Origins. You've chosen Dungeon Defenders, and you've also endorsed Rayman Origins based on critics' reviews.
Correct.
Okay. So next category, best budget game. This is a game that's, it kind of explains itself. You want to save money, you get a cheap game.
Yeah. So this one is, it's a difficult question and an easy question all at the same time. Pick your favorite system. Pick pretty much your favorite genre. Go to your local game store and buy something for $20. Because I'd imagine that there's a good game that is on your favorite console and in your favorite genre that fits that $20 criteria, where at that point in the gaming life cycle of these consoles, there is fantastic content for $20.
Yeah, most of the bestseller games like the Nintendo Selects and the Xbox Platinum hits, most of those are good games. I went to Walmart the other day and they have Twilight Princess, Super Mario Galaxy, Punch-Out, Mario Strikers, all these good games for under $20, and they have a bunch of good 360 ones too. Dead Space, I saw Dead Space for under $20. That's a good game. So yeah, I totally endorse that.
Yeah, there is a. I work with a gentleman who got a 360 just last year, and I do believe he hasn't paid for a full price video game yet because he's still working on the backlog.
Yeah,
so it's an awesome time to just now get into these consoles, because you just go buy something cheap and be awesome. But to be a little bit more specific, it's also a good time to do this because older games from the life cycle that had lots of DLC, you can go and pick those up with the DLC bundled for a discount price.
Yes, like Fallout 3.
Yeah, and like Borderlands. Yeah, and that way you don't have to pay all the money. Like you have to pay almost $10 per DLC for both of those games unless there's a sale going on. But now you can just pick it all up in a $20 to $30 bundle and get almost double the game for, you know, half of what the price was.
Now, my favorite system is the Nokia N-Gage. How am I going to find games for that?
You can find them in the afterlife because you need to kill yourself.
Do you remember that thing?
No, I didn't, because after doing the research in it, I made sure I drank enough that I didn't have to remember it.
God, I don't even think I saw... I've never even seen somebody play it. I mean, that's how... God.
Yeah, no, I've never even heard someone say, hey man, I need to get that new N-Gage.
All right, let's get off the topic.
Yeah.
Can't talk about this thing. Oh, okay. So your best budget game is pretty much pick your console, find one of those $20 and under games, and that's going to be your best budget game. Because you make a good point. The consoles have a huge backlog of really good games.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now my best budget game. This game did not come out this year. It came out late last year, but it is kick ass, and you can get it. I think Best Buy has it used for $5, and that game is called Vanquish. Came out for 360, PlayStation 3. It's a third-person shooter, but it's like it's like Gears of War meets a bullet hell shmup. There are bullets everywhere. It's the most intense third-person shooter I've ever played. It was directed by Shinji Mikami. He did the Resident Evil games. And it was published by Sega. But it is a ton of fun. It got great reviews.
Now, it sounds like this could also qualify for an overlooked game, because even though I think I have the title in my head and the box art, like, I never read anything about it.
I guess, yeah, you could. I wanted to throw Rayman Origins in there just because it's a recently overlooked game, but...
Sure, sure.
Vanquish, $5 for one hell of a game. I mean, one website. I don't know if you're familiar with Classic Game Room.
I am not.
They do a ton of YouTube videos, and they said Vanquish was their 2010 game of the year. And wow. That's powerful, because Vanquish is single player only. There's no multiplayer. That says a lot.
It does.
It's a kick-ass game. So if you're tight on a budget and you've got a present, you need to give somebody a present, get them Vanquish. And if they already have Vanquish, buy them another copy.
Yeah, it's $5. It's not like it's going to burn your wallet.
Yeah, they'll just appreciate that you even thought of Vanquish.
Yeah.
See? Okay, last category, Steven. And what do you know? It's best game overall. The most cliched category in the existence of award shows. And, yeah. Steven, what is your pick for best game overall? It doesn't have to be from this year, but I'm sure it will be, because we do want to keep it recent.
Sure. So I'm going to give a cliche category an answer with the cliche answer. It's Skyrim.
Should we do a golf clap?
Yes. Thank you. So, yeah, I thought about it. I did want to keep it recent. And for me, it did boil down to Arkham City or Skyrim. And I loved Arkham City. Oh, Lord, did I love Arkham City. But Skyrim just kind of takes the cake. I've been playing it since the release date. I went to the midnight release, came home, and played it for 2 or 3 hours that night.
That's dedication, folks.
It is. I took time off from work to play Skyrim.
That's dedication, folks.
I took a weekend off, like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Put 10 hours in each day, roundabout.
Uh-huh.
I'm nowhere near completing what I want to complete. I have about 55 hours at this point. I'm not done with the story. I'm not done with the side quest that I want to do. My character's not built the exact way I want him built yet. There's all kinds of minigames that I haven't even started to work on. And I still, like, I haven't got burnt out yet. I still want to dive in and still explore this world. And I don't know, it's just, even at $60, it's the biggest bang for your buck.
So it's a pretty big game.
It is ginormous.
All right, I've got a question for you.
Sure.
There's a meme going around about getting shot in the knee with an arrow. And it's from Skyrim, apparently. There's an NPC who says, "I used to be an adventurer, but I got shot in the knee with an arrow."
It's not one NPC. There's at least three guards in every city that says that exact same thing.
Oh, okay. So that's where that comes from.
Yes.
Okay. What's the deal with that?
That's actually something that happens in all of these open world Bethesda games.
Mm-hmm.
They're so large, there's no way you're going to fill out enough dialogue that everything that is said is unique. So there's a lot of repetitive dialogue this is just from passersby. The NPC walks by, the AI recognizes that you're there, and it recognizes that it has to pull from the randomly generated list of stuff to say, and it just that's one of the things that it brings out. It does kind of take you out of the immersion every now and again, but that like I said, it's so huge,
mm-hmm.
that it's to be expected. Even Arkham City, that had a lot of dialogue. I mean, it's hard to find repetitious dialogue in that game, but it does exist.
Now, did you get all emotional when you first heard he got shot in the knee with an arrow?
I did.
And
I
then, cried. Then when you heard it from somebody else, you were like, what the hell?
I felt cheated on.
Okay, I'm going to drop that for now. But I seriously wanted to know what the deal was with that, because I've been hearing it a lot lately.
Yeah, that's what it is. It could have came from any other of the Bethesda games, Oblivion, Fallout 3, or this. It just, for some reason, it caught on with the dude with an arrow in his knee.
Okay, so
some dude keeps talking about how, oh, we both prefer one-handed swords. That happens just as much as the knee arrow guy, and for some reason the knee arrow caught him.
So best game overall, you are choosing
Skyrim.
Elder Scrolls V Skyrim.
Yes.
Okay. My best game overall is Skyward Sword.
Ah, I see what you did there.
Yeah, you see. So two Sky games. What is it with the sky being good this year? So I'm choosing Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword. I've been playing this game a lot, and I'm really enjoying it. It's probably the most enjoyable game I've played this year. I'm choosing it because it's a little different than your usual Zelda game. One, because I feel like it's a lot more story driven this time around. They've really developed the characters a lot more, and like I've talked to you about before, for the first few hours you're playing, you're still doing like training missions and learning the game, and it's usually not like that in Zelda games. Most Zelda games, you're just thrown into it and you're like, all right, go save the world. I mean, in the first one, do you remember the first one on Nintendo? They just drop you in there and they don't tell you where to go or what to do.
Yeah, nothing at all.
Yeah, so this one kind of eases you in a bit more, but it's good because you develop the characters, the backstory, and it's more RPG-like. This Zelda is much more RPG-like. And the biggest thing I like about this game are the controls. The controls are so precise. It's incredible what they've done.
That's awesome to hear from a Wii game.
That's awesome to hear if you've played Twilight Princess.
Yeah.
Which I got it on GameCube, but you weren't so lucky.
I did it on the Wii, and we've talked about my resistance to motion controls, and that was kind of one of the reasons.
Well, I'm here to show you the light, Steven.
Fantastic.
Praise be.
I don't have to like buy a book or nothing while you're showing me this light, right? You can just show it to me for free.
The Book of Skyward Sword. It actually costs $10.
Okay. I think I can muster up $10.
So, yeah, my choice, best game overall. If you're looking for great game for the Wii, give as a gift. My choice is Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword. Okay, well, hopefully you've enjoyed our holiday gift guide, and you can give some great gifts this year, because everyone is tired of you giving sweaters or gift certificates, right, Steven?
I want a gift certificate.
Where?
Yeah, you're right. I guess it kind of depends where.
Wouldn't you want a game?
I guess I would. Just don't give me like a gift certificate to PetSmart.
Yeah, that would be useless.
It really would.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, our final three topics, and we've got a mailbag because Steven has to defend himself.
Norm, will you help me defend my honor?
No.
Darn.
We'll be right back.
Want to hear more? View the episode archives at level7podcast.com.
And welcome back to the Level 7 Podcast. All right, final three topics. Bethesda Games has announced that the PC version of Skyrim will be getting a modification kit, the creation kit is said to be tied to the Steam Workshop. It has a dedicated wiki and will even have smartphone functionality. Huh. Is this a good move by Bethesda?
I think it is. I think trying to keep the life cycle of your game past what it should be, that's always kind of a good decision, to always try to keep your product in the, you know, in the light until your next product comes by. Because we've seen, especially on PC, games can last for almost ever.
Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'll still put in Diablo 2 every now and again.
Counter-Strike.
Exactly.
Oh my god, Counter-Strike. That game is still going.
Right. And Team Fortress 2 as well.
Yeah.
So it's good. Keep everything going. I want to see, my curiosity is piqued because it is said that this creation kit is the same tools that developers use. And something about that confuses me, because there's no way that they're actually going to be given the same exact tools that the developers use, because those are, you know, sophisticated programs that you actually need training and college education in. So I want to see what they do to kind of dumb down the process of the development tools and see what kind of GUI they attach to it.
Now, if you were, because you've played Skyrim.
Absolutely.
You're obsessed with it.
Absolutely.
What modifications would you like to see? Would you like to see, like, McDonald's characters running around, or...
Okay, possibly. Maybe skin changes like that. Silly, stupid stuff like that, I probably would.
If you could hunt Grimace.
Fantastic. Yeah. Oh, I have something I'm going to dream about tonight. Yeah. Actually, I don't like user-generated content.
Okay, so what would you like to see?
Well, I'm not going to see none of it, because I'm playing it on a 360. They're only putting this on the PC, and that kind of makes sense. I don't really see how they could bring it over to the 360.
You don't like user-generated content?
I don't, and the reason is I don't want a game that I enjoy that is made by professionals being mucked up by amateurs.
Sipping the Haterade.
I have a six-pack of it.
Okay.
Norm. And I hope I'm pronouncing this correct. Yoshinori Kitase, producer of Final Fantasy XII-2. Thank you, Norm. My supporter.
Not bad at all.
Recently told official Xbox 360 magazine that a Final Fantasy VII remake would take 10 times longer than Final Fantasy XII. Can we finally kill the idea of remaking this game?
I hope so. I'm sick of hearing about a remake of Final Fantasy VII. And it makes sense why that would take 10 times longer than Final Fantasy XIII-2.
And why do you say that?
Because if you're going to do a remake, I mean, you can't just... I mean, because you've got to redo all the graphics. You've got to completely change the back end of that game, because, like... the way the game works, like in the battle scenes with the static images in the background,
mm-hmm.
You can't really do that anymore.
Right.
With HD graphics, it would look terrible. I mean, you could get away with it on the older consoles. So,
I don't think we're going to ever kill this rumor until it finally happens, because fans of Final Fantasy VII want it to happen, so they're going to find any little inkling that they can find. And the other thing is, it's Squaresoft's MO, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
They remake and re-release titles all the time.
I mean, they put Final Fantasy VII on the PlayStation Network.
Right. But, I mean, I can see them doing this. Maybe it's one of those things where they're trying to get it so you're not bugging them so much about it. I don't think the rumors are ever going to die, like I said, until we get one. But now, when it comes to remake, the only thing I would like to see is maybe a new translation. That would be kind of cool, in my opinion.
I think you and I both agree that the story of Final Fantasy VII was very confusing.
Very. And part of the reason was the translation, which wasn't that great. So maybe just a re-release with a new translation, and that's it. I would be happy with that. But I don't know if we want to seven.
I want it to go away.
Yeah.
All right, our final topic. Happy late birthday to the Nintendo GameCube. The GameCube was released 10 years ago on November 18th, 2001. So, we're giving it a very late birthday. But, Steven, what are your memories of this system?
I remember it taking a backseat to my PS2.
Ouch, ouch.
I know. I wanted to, let's open up with a jab. So, my real strongest memory of the GameCube is that I never beat Botan Kaidos. The reason that sticks out is because my girlfriend watched me play Botan Kaidos from start to about right where I quit, which was towards the end, and she hasn't let me forget that ever.
She holds it over your head.
Oh, yeah. I still hear about it. I haven't touched that game in 3-4 years. Every now and again, she's like, so when are you going to beat Botan Kaidos? But aside from that stupid little thing, Killer 7 was one of my memorable games.
Killer 7. Yeah, I remember that game.
Absolutely. It was fantastic. If you haven't played it, try to find a copy. Go play it. You'll thank me.
Well, the GameCube was the first game system I bought with my own money.
Oh, really?
Yes. I think it had a lot of great games. First one I played on there was Pikmin, which was really such a strange game looking back, but it was really cool. And I think the GameCube really started the whole trend of like these sleek, quirky, kind of cute looking consoles. The GameCube kind of started that, because after that you saw like re-releases of the PlayStation 2 and all these like slim models of it. They made it seem like a console can look good on your entertainment stand.
Yeah.
So I have good memories with the GameCube. It's sad. It's kind of sad because it didn't do that well for Nintendo, but
right. Yeah, that's one of the things I was sad about too, because yes, it really did have good games, and those games kind of broke the mold a little bit. It's just they didn't have enough of them, unfortunately, because there was the juggernaut that was the PS2. Sad to say.
Who can forget Mario Sunshine?
Oh,
spraying water.
Yeah, never forget.
Cleaning paint. Okay, well, that wraps up our topics. Steven, it's time for our mailbag section. Remember, if you have a question for us that you want answered, where can you contact us, Steven?
You can email us at level7cast@gmail.com. You can get a hold of us on Facebook and Twitter. And if you really want to go the roundabout way, you can actually get a hold of us in any of the media outlets for The Gaming Historian.
Yeah, thegaminghistorian.com.
Yeah.
Comment on our stuff, ask questions.
Absolutely. Completely recommend that you leave any type of comment or question. We welcome it.
Yes. And today's mailbag section was actually more of a call out from somebody that listened to our episode. And in our last episode, Steven, you mentioned that you're not buying any more God of War games.
Absolutely.
And basically he said you didn't really explain yourself. So okay. Here's your chance.
Here's my chance to explain my God of War boycott. Okay. So God of War 1, this is where it all starts with. I bought that game brand new at $50. Being a young man making minimum wage at the time, at $50, I really wanted a bang for the buck. It was one of those games where I kind of followed reviews. And when I beat it in 6 hours, I was vastly disappointed. I liked the journey. I liked the gameplay. But after 6 hours, I flipped the disc over. Where's my disc 2? And also the story completely underwhelmed me because really big like plot holes. Like it just wasn't an attention to details in the story. I'm not going to get too much into that, because that we can discuss that later. So then I picked up God of War 2. I waited for it to come down in price because I wasn't going to fall for that trap again.
You weren't going to pay the full price again.
No, I wasn't, because I wanted, like I said, I want bang for the buck.
Right.
Once again, the story was pretty light, but I was enjoying myself. I enjoyed the gameplay. I enjoyed getting to where I was going. And then when you get to the end, there's all this buildup of what was going to happen and who you were going to defeat. Don't want to get too much into it because I don't like spoiling too much. And right when you're about to do what you came to do, basically somebody steps in your way. It doesn't happen. And, oh, by the way, go get God of War 3. And I felt so cheated that I had worked so hard over two games to get to that, and they're just going to tell me to go buy God of War 3, and I refused to do it. I looked at that game. I said, no, God of War 2. No, we're not doing this. I'm not going to buy a third game because you should have wrapped up the story in the second game. And there were little other things here and there. I don't understand why Kratos has to pull himself out of Hades every game.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there are repetitious elements. I like God of War. It had good gameplay, but it pissed me off. And I'm a very fickle person.
So that is your boycott of God of War.
It is. And I hope that explains it well enough. I hope I didn't forget anything and have to write an article covering why I don't like God of War.
Well, you're more than welcome to write that article.
Yeah.
Well, that wraps up this episode of the Level 7 Podcast. Steven, your final thoughts?
I got pizza waiting for me this time. All right.
So last time it was you wanted to play Skyrim. This time you want to eat pizza.
Yeah, and the time before that, actually, for episode 3, I didn't tell anybody this. I had steak waiting. I sacrifice a lot for you, Norm.
You do. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and I sacrifice a lot for the listeners because I honestly appreciate them.
We do, and thank you for listening to the Level 7 Podcast. Once again, you can subscribe to us on iTunes. You can just go to level7podcast.com. There's lots of ways to listen to us.
And please give any feedback you want. Questions, comments, positive, negative. Write dirty bananas all over our wall. We'll appreciate it.
Yeah, if we will respond to any criticism.
Absolutely.
We appreciate it. So until next time, take care.
Goodbye.